Hi, this is Pete Cironis, and I am excited to be back talking with my colleague, Samara Schulman, president of On Point Consulting. We have been discussing cybersecurity here in October 2023 because it is Cybersecurity Month, and it is recognized as a topic that we should be talking about 7 days a week and twice on Sunday. Today, Samara and I are going to dive into pillars 3 and 4, which are aptly titled Expand and Enhance America's Cyber Workforce and Strengthen the Federal Cyber Workforce. There is a distinction, but to kick it off, let me start with Samara. It is great to see you.
Great to be here. I appreciate these conversations.
Me too. And I'm really encouraged to hear a lot of your perspective being a company again that supports the federal government, supports state, local, municipality. This is a whole of government approach. And a workforce, especially in cybersecurity, is not something that just, you find the talent and it's a nice retrofit, right? There's a lot that you, I'm sure, are going to hit here on pillar 3, what struck you. And then in pillar 4, specifically to that federal mission, there's a lot that has to go into supporting the federal government, from clearances to knowing the mission, not just having a resume. So let's start with that. For me, pillar 3, it really emphasized objectives around, again, this ecosystem, having skills-based, leveraging frameworks. What did you take away from it? And maybe share with the audience how On Point does this for a living.
There were a lot of takeaways. Looking at both of these pillars together, the thing that really struck me are the underlying questions of, again, I think we talked about this too with pillars 1 and 2. How do we avoid this not my problem type of mentality? How do we get everybody involved? And then, specific to these pillars, how do you get companies, government, and academia to share? A few of these ideas, one or two, literally just sound political to me, which is okay. But then there's also the question that we are a capitalist society. So how do you do these things where it's almost sharing talent, while living in an economically and capitalist driven society? How do you share benefits, make a full FTE among different companies and nonprofits, so to speak, while also still competing against one another?
Can I ask you, let me jump in because I want to riff off that. That's a great point. And again, being a company that has to distinguish itself when it sees an RFP or an RFI or a opportunity to support an agency, it's not just we have cyber talented people. It's also knowing how to meet the specific requirements for that mission. And I'm going to say this skills-based approach, while, as you said, hey, we're competing with others who can say we have that same kind of talent. Is this hard to do that? Is it hard for you as a company to distinguish yourselves, if you will, when it comes to saying we can provide the support necessary for any organization in its mitigating of cyber risk?
Yes, I think anybody in the Beltway will tell you it's hard. It's very hard. But you know what we do at On Point, we do it well, is things like the conversation that you and I are having right now, right? These are the conversations that matter. These are the conversations that get to the heart of what this industry is doing. So skills base, yes, we do. Even in interviews, we'll give homework. Yes, we'll do different tests and qualifying tests and things like that. But we give homework depending upon the agency and what the agency is looking for. We're very big on culture at On Point. We want to make sure that we're hiring not only for that position, but we're hiring somebody who's going to fit in with that agency, with the agency mission, as well as with On Point and our mission. These are the qualities we're looking for: power skills. We want people, when these two pillars are talking about upskilling, reskilling, if an agency is open to that, we want to make sure that we're hiring the people who are open to that as well. So if somebody is great at his or her position for the first year and a half, and another position comes along, we're going to first look internally and see if we've got any talent, because we're familiar with those people. We know how well they work. We know how they can adapt to the situation. And quite frankly, we know how they understand the situation surrounding them. So we want to make sure that we are hiring employees who are open to that, who just have a natural curiosity about themselves, if possible. Now, with that being said, skills-based or not, there are positions where we will find the right people who want to be in those positions forever. And that is good too. They become experts in their position. They can think outside the box specific to their position, and they lend themselves well to be on a team because they are so directed towards that position.
I want to emphasize to the audience, that's not something that just you find on a resume. Before we move on here to pillar four, because I want to remind folks, please read the National Cyber Workforce and Education Strategy, Unleashing America's Cyber Talent, dated July 31, 2023. Samara Shulman, President, OnPoint Consulting, is talking about this ecosystem of stakeholders that have to come together to develop those skills, whether you learn them in an educational environment or have a college degree or some job experience or certifications, that helps. But retrofitting the right person to the culture of an organization is what I think is paramount, because they have to become a part of that culture. And you go through that a lot with a lot of the government customers you support, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And pillar three, the first strategic objective, grow the cyber workforce by proliferating and strengthening ecosystems. The first line that is under that is a very strong line to me. Effective, sustainable ecosystems require incubation, cultivation, investment, information sharing, and above all, the collaboration of all stakeholders in the pursuit of common goals. The reason why that is so strong and speaks so strongly to me is because that's our workforce in general, right? I mean, that's the culture that we at OnPoint are trying to further. We have information sharing. We're collaborative. We have open lines of communication. We try our hardest to cultivate our employees, investing in our employees, training our employees, and all of this so that it fits into each agency's specific needs.
I love it. And thank you, because I want to jump into four, because you're now hitting on this matching or mapping of the person, the individual, with the mission of government. But to close out, folks, the NICE framework, which is the NIST, I believe the National Initiative for Cybersecurity Framework, has been around. It's like anything in government that gets updated. It's a common lexicon for the cybersecurity work roles and the knowledge and skills needed for those roles, not just for government. Take a look at it. And then there's some key legislation that the strategy calls out: the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act, the Carl D. Perkins Career and Technical Education Act, the Higher Education Act. I know this is a lot, but if you're listening, you can Google these: the CHIPS and Science Act, American Rescue Plan, and the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law. All are emphasizing this enhancement of America's cyber workforce and the importance that it has, not just here in America, but internationally. So, Samara, let's pivot. Strengthening the federal cyber workforce. This might ring true, and you being a beltway kind of company, right? The government has a lot of regulation, has a lot of requirement. The strategy calls out Trusted Workforce 2.0. We just mentioned there are frameworks for agencies and for those who support agencies to be aware of, and the kind of things but that are needed. But the vital work that the federal cyber workforce performs, a large chunk of it is done through industry. And that is protecting the systems, the networks, and the data from these sophisticated adversaries. Critical infrastructure, you know, is something I care about immensely. We all do. These are the planes, trains, roads, the air we breathe, the food. That's the mission of government, and protecting that data. I know OnPoint does this. I know you respond to a lot of opportunities there. Can you just speak? This pillar four is all about what you do, what you provide, and what you support. So what's some of your feedback on just how you at OnPoint actually are doing this to strengthen that workforce through OnPoint's credentials?
A lot of what Pillar 4 says and speaks to me, as well as, I mean, I would consider myself an educator, but at least having a master's degree in education, we'll leave it at that, speaks to me in some of the basics that Pillar 3 was the one that actually spoke to, having a common lexicon for all of this to make sure that we all understand things in the same way. But Pillar 4 then goes on to not overstating clearance needs, that the government needs to be very specific and very careful not to mark positions that don't need a clearance or may not require a clearance all the time they need to be careful not to mark that they do need a clearance, because we get very backed up in regards to giving clearances and adjudicating clearances. It takes a long time to get a clearance. If you're marking positions, you're not familiar enough with the position, maybe the position doesn't actually touch data. Whereas the person hiring thinks, well, everybody in this team needs a clearance. Well, if the person's not touching the data, does that person actually need a clearance? Maybe not. We need to be thinking more about the basics like that. Another thing that it mentioned was training human resources and cyber talent management, which means training them to the jobs that are open, to be able to speak to these jobs, using better job titles. If we need somebody specific for, let's say, penetration testing, that we're not just calling them an IT specialist.
Mm-hmm.
Those, I think, at the most basic level are fabulous. I mean, those are just everyday guides, right? That we should all be using, not just in this industry. Just, you need to set people's expectations. If they're applying for a position, hopefully they're applying because they feel that they are well qualified for the position. If they then walk in and it turns out, oh, wait, now you also have to do XYZ, you've set them up for disaster. Your agency is not going to be very happy with you because all of a sudden you brought somebody in and that person didn't last, and it's just cause for problem. So these are different things, again, on the most basic level that I think at OnPoint we do. We make sure that we're titling our positions well. We make sure that, yes, we explain the essential functions of the job. Actually, instead of just competencies, we've now said required competencies. I mean, we're very specific with the types of people for those different positions, but each position we treat differently. We take a look at the team where the position is going to be sitting. We take a look at the OnPoint team. We take a look at just all the different teams and different people that this person's job will be touching, and make sure that they fit incorrectly and that we are setting their expectations correctly. We want them to succeed, and without setting expectations accurately, you can't guarantee success.
Well, I would say that my prior question about, you know, is it hard and what distinguishes, easier said than done. And I really appreciate, being a former federal employee for 25 years, this concept of skills-based hiring on what candidates can do really underscores, from my days, what I hope a service provider, somebody like OnPoint, puts into bringing the best of talent from a diversity standpoint, right? It says here in pillar four about attracting members of underserved and unrepresented, right? So yes, I think I'm not being biased because I know that you're an awesome company, but that is something that is very distinguishing. And for folks listening, some of these challenges that companies like OnPoint bring to bear is they understand there's a shortage of skilled professionals. There is an evolving threat landscape. There is a diversity and inclusion challenge when it comes to the hiring. And then we have an aging workforce. Samara, you mentioned this security clearance. Trusted Workforce 2.0 is working to improve that personnel vetting. Maybe just to close out this mapping you've really hit on, do you find in today's day and age, with the mission and government being so diverse, that cybersecurity isn't just something that you're looking for, but it's being able to do some of the reskilling, some of the upskilling of that federal workforce? Do you find that the federal workforce is taking advantage of the educational DNA that yourself and your company bring to the table?
Yes. I put in purposefully trepidation. Yes, I think that the idea is definitely spreading. I think it's spreading very quickly. Skills-based hiring is spreading. But I do think it also is going to need to show results, right? I mean, I think we are I don't want to say at the very beginning, but I do think that right now we're still at the word of mouth phase of this. I mean, this is now in writing within this framework for all to see. I think skills-based hiring, and even to tie it back to pillars one and two, where it talks about education, it changes the way that we're viewing everything these days, right? I think government and industry is going to be better off focusing on skills-based hiring. Or there's a mention in here, which is something that we do at OnPoint as well. If you find the right person, that person doesn't need 15 years of experience. That person wants to learn. And if you find the right people who want to learn, there's a place for them as well in what we commonly call an entry position, but I mean, let's be honest, they want to learn, they want to grow, they're not going to stay very long in that entry position. So I do think that there's definitely room for this. I think we are talking about changing in broader strokes, just education in general. Again, just to tie all four of these pillars back together, these are strong ideas, right? We're talking internships, apprenticeships, where there's a place in here within the pillar four write-up that actually points out one study found 46% of federal cybersecurity jobs were open to applicants without a bachelor's degree, compared to only 20% of cybersecurity jobs in the private sector. 46% of those jobs were open. What does that do for education? And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing or anything, but going back, I have these conversations now tend to come up much more than they ever did before. Having small children in my house, my kids and everything, just thinking towards the future, where am I directing them in terms of education? I know plenty of people who are very successful in cybersecurity, as well as just the IT industry in general, who didn't do the traditional going to college after high school, or may not still have a degree, or served our country and don't have a degree, but then got into IT. Those are all fabulous paths to take. It's just I'm curious. I know you didn't ask for a parting shot yet, but I am curious to see what the cybersecurity workforce shortage, what changes because of that outside of just cybersecurity.
Well, you segued into, I will ask you in a New York minute here for your parting shot, maybe to summarize our discussions from pillars one to four, but you've emphasized that. And I will use this time to kind of share my view on at the end of the day, it's I think we've evolved to your comments you just made from, I will go to school, I will get my degree, or I will get a certification, I will be a CISSP. The lexicon, the conversation, we talk about this a lot, government hiring, whether it's on point or their own people, just a sense that I hope you're smarter than me, because I'm also looking at you as a partner on point or a new employee. I used to say, I hope you're bringing something to the table because this is the gap. And, you know, just to remind everybody, the Office of National Cyber, of the National Cyber Director, who advises the President of the United States on cybersecurity policy and strategy, is pushing this, what can we learn from folks like you, Samara, from industry, best practices to make this better for everybody. There is not one school that says we have the best cyber professionals. I'm sorry. There's people who can take a test and get 100% and have no verbal communication skills because they want to be left alone. But having that, as I like to say, a jigsaw puzzle piece that interlocks well with the agency is something I took away that I know is very important to you. And that to me, I think epitomizes why we're looking at this as a whole of government approach. So that was my parting shot and comment. So what would you like to leave as we celebrate Cybersecurity Month and diving into, and I appreciate all of the insight and time you've shared to really break down this amazing strategy. And again, folks, it's dated July 31. You could download it. You can read it. You'll probably see a lot of what Samara has shared, but you're hearing it from somebody in Samara's case, who does this for a living and supports our great country and the federal government. But your parting shot, Samara.
Yeah, I mean, Pete, what I'm hoping our conversations do for others is that it just spurs more conversation. I mean, at the most basic level, we just need to be talking about this. When you get down to it, it is a lot about word of mouth. And what you and I do, I think, is hopefully help just generate more and more conversations, whether people agree with us, whether they don't agree with us. I hope more and more people start to chime in and just are ready to discuss some of these things that are the forefront of our industry, as well as government, as well as our country.
Well, thank you. And I'm going to have to top that with simply what I love about talking to you is that we have conversations that matter, that are not biased, and we're just putting it out there. So for anybody listening, get to know Samara Shulman, get to know On Point Consulting. They care about this stuff. They read a lot of stuff. She gives her staff homework. And a big shout out to you. I look forward to our next conversation.
Thanks, Pete. I appreciate it.